Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and this is another edition of OnlyFans Q&A Live, the only show that is live to our Discord, OnlyFans. And if you want to become a member of OnlyFans and participate in these shows, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you can become a member there for $3 a month. All right, guys, it's been a couple of days. The sky was falling on Monday, and some of our beat writers were trying to tell you that, this was the worst day since the Hindenburg disaster. That was not the case. They've done, I wouldn't say a 180, because it's hard to replace what you lost. But I think they've done some nice work here in a couple of days. And we're just going to, we're going to go over it briefly, okay? And then we're going to get into your questions, because we are loaded in the chat. We got three guys in the queue, so that's going to be a good thing. So we got plenty of conversation. If you want to ask a question, put it in the chat. I'm going to try to get to every single one of them. But we'll just go through it very briefly. Shaq Barrett, $9 million, including incentives. We just don't know what that entails. My guess is that it's probably a very low base. And then you'll get that $9 million if you have a monster season, which he's capable of. That's a possibility. There's also a possibility that he won't have Jalen Phillips or Bradley Chubb out there with him to start the season. So he could get those numbers. Jordan Brooks, my favorite signing. It's an average of 8.8 per season. I think he's going to be a really good player for this team. I've said this, and I don't think it's controversial. I said it on the podcast. I think he's an upgrade over Jerome Baker, and I was a huge Jerome Baker fan. Okay? And I'll tell you why he's an upgrade over Jerome Baker. He's capable of playing Phil linebacker. Phil linebacker is loosely designed. Any linebacker that lines up between the tackles on the inside shoulder of each tackle. Scrape linebacker is a guy that lines up either head up on the tackle or outside of the tackle. Jerome Baker was a fabulous scrape linebacker. Jordan Brooks can do both. Okay? And that's going to give the team a little bit of versatility. I think it's going to help them against the run. So you're losing a pretty big piece in Christian Wilkins. I think that Jordan Brooks is going to help mitigate that a bit. All right? Aaron Brewer is a guy who has fabulous tape as an outside zone center. Jonnu Smith, we've talked about before. Jordan Poyer should be a nice cog in a three safety rotation. Anthony Walker Jr. should be. We don't have numbers on Anthony Walker Jr., by the way, but I think it's a small number. He should be a really nice player in a linebacker rotation. And you got to remember, he is a guy who was a special teams ace for Cleveland. He wore the C on his chest and had the green dot for a while there for the Browns. Browns had one of the best defenses in football. Got another special teams ace out of Buffalo. His name escapes me at the moment. But as of a couple of hours ago, they signed Neville Gallimore. And a lot of people are like, who? Who's that? He played for the Dallas Cowboys, okay? And Cowboys had a pretty good defense. And if you're wondering, and as soon as you see his size, 6'2", 305, as soon as you see 6'2", 305, you're thinking to yourself, a three tech on this defense? That's what he's going to do? He's incredibly strong. He's a zero tech, okay? He's a nose tackle. That's where he played for Dallas for a while, okay? And played there this year. His defensive snaps are as such, and they read as a guy that would be a zero, okay? This is his season. Played all year. Played every game. Snap counts on defense were 34. That's a very, very high number. 13, 16, 18, 25, 19, 9, 8, 16, 16, 17, 11, 12, 17, 16, 23, and 18. You want to see what he did against, stronger opponents? Against Miami, he played 16 snaps. Against Buffalo, he played 17 snaps. Against Philadelphia, he played 12 snaps in one game, and he played 8 in the other. Okay? So, I'm trying to do a tape on this, and he played against Seattle, too. 11 snaps. That was odd. He opened the season with 34 snaps. But you see there's an uptick in snaps in all these games that Dallas blew out an opponent. So, he played some garbage time. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some of the games that he played against good teams and close games and see how he was employed and how he was used. All right, the queue is absolutely loaded. Since it is loaded, we're just going to have to go to one question per member. So as I bring you on, you have to identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you are up.
What's up, Al V Sniper?
Hey.
Who would you want to go after that would be your priority that wouldn't mess with the compensation for, you know, Wilkins and Van Ginkle and Hunt?
Quandre Dix. That's who I would go after. He's a safety from Seattle. He got cut. Miami can get him. I wonder what he'll cost. I'm certain, because a lot of these guys are good at their jobs. There's GM somewhere watching tape and saying, this guy got cut? He's one of the better safeties in football. So I love to bring him in. And somebody asked me, is he an upgrade over Deshaun Elliott? Yeah, yeah, I think he is. I think he's an upgrade over Deshaun Elliott. You know, I'm certain that they're working the numbers with Deshaun Elliott. I think there's one other suitor. But if they don't come to an agreement with Deshaun Elliott, I would pivot so fast to Quandre Diggs. He's such a good player. He's going to be a really good player for somebody. And as I was watching the Jordan Brooks tape, man, the guy that was popping to me was Quandre Diggs. He's that tape told me I'm rooting against him showing up somewhere dangerous, like Buffalo. Buffalo needs safeties. If Buffalo gets Quandre Diggs, I think that's a problem. He's a really, really good player. That's who I would go after.
Nice.
All right. And as I bring you up, we got three more in the queue. As I bring you up, identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you're up.
I'm Dundee Dolphin. As we've organized and reorganized to get under the cap, and we've made these kind of value signings, I think the whole fan base was speculating about some kind of big ticket signing. Do you think that's going to happen in free agency? And if so, where might we look? Who might we go after?
I don't think so. I think that there could be a big ticket trade. They always have their eyes open and their eyes open and their ears to the street.
In black.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that there'll be a big ticket signing. Like, where's that going to come from? Are they going to go after Eric Armstead? This is my thinking on that. He hasn't been the most durable sort. I think he wants a payday. I don't think they want to pay that money. I don't think they want to pay Eric Armstead money. This is a guy that walked away from $17 million. So he's going to want something near there. Is he going to get $17 million? Probably not. Is he going to get somewhere like 12? Yeah, I think so. And I don't think Miami wants to pay something like that. I think you're going to see under-the-radar signings, if there's going to be a big-ticket item, it's going to be via a trade. I think that's when you'll see something that'll catch your eye.
Do you think Tyreek was just bumping his gums, or does he know something? Because he seemed to think something's going on.
He was probably given a name or something and told not to say it, and he's just took to Twitter to have a little fun. But they're probably talking to somebody for that big ticket item, and it might not be L'Jarius Sneed. It might be somebody else, you know. But does it happen? I don't know. But they got more ammo now. They got a lot of ammo for 2025. And a little bit of cap space. They could get creative with contracts. They could figure this thing out. They damn near have 2 third round picks on lock for 2025. Okay? To go with the rest of what they have in 2025, which is a full slate. they have flexibility. They could have a little fun. They could add a player or two of impact. And I expect them to, by the way. All right.
Thank you.
No, thank you. All right. We still have two more in the queue. It's a loaded room, by the way. And I got two more in the queue. As I bring you up, identify yourself for the audience, and then I'm going to get to every single one of your questions in the chat. All right, you're up.
Hey, guys. Gus M13. I know we're talking about free agency. I wanted to talk a little about the draft now that we've filled in some spots, and I was just curious about your opinion on where we can go at 21. And I know that Greer considers the offensive tackle a premium position. What particular lineman would you take at 21 if they were there? It could be, I know, Fatino, Guyton, or Mims. And if you had to choose between those three or a D-tackle, maybe Newton and Murphy. Maybe Latu is an edge. There, what would you pick?
Yeah, the short answer is that all of those guys are good. I like every single one of them. Troy Fatano is the short answer. If he's there at 21, you can almost, like, just pencil it in. Like, I don't see how you can not take him, okay? There's some really attractive interior linemen, of course. JPJ, of course. Grant Barton, another one. So, you know, it's going to be tempting to take one of those offensive linemen, because I think this is such a good class this year. And I really do think you can bypass wide receiver in the first round and take one in the second round and be fine, mm-hmm. because the wide receiver class is so deep that you could find mm-hmm. a great one at 55. You could find a first-round talent at 55.
Okay.
You know, so there's a lot of flexibility. And defensive tackle is still there, okay? There's a distinct possibility that one of those guys is going to drop to you, okay? And if he does drop to you, you're talking, like, what if Byron Murphy, not that that it's going to happen, but let's say he drops to you at 21. Yeah. Like, that's a guy you almost have to take. He's absolutely deadly as a three tech. And they're going to have the flexibility to play a guy exclusively as a three tech, which is what I would do. You know, I'm not an NFL defensive coordinator, but I have called defenses before. And personally, I don't mind putting guys to do what they do best. And Byron Murphy is damn near impossible to block as a three tech. Although he could play pretty much everywhere. Yeah, the only place you don't want him is head up on the center. That's the only place. Because those spots are usually wasted because they always get combo blocked.
Yeah. As far as tackle, you would probably want to get a tackle that has some flexibility to play guard, because I don't really see a guy like Mims or Guyton playing guard. They're like way too big.
Yeah, most of those
guys are like 6'7".
Yeah, too tall.
Yeah, so Fatino would be the guy with the flexibility to play inside and out, and that would be the guy to pick if he was there then.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the guy. Like, you know, you want to put the early leader in the clubhouse is Troy Fatino. And I don't think it's particularly close, really. Like, he's the, you know, I'm gonna do my own BPA board for 21. I don't see how he's gonna get knocked off of number one. I think he's gonna be my number one BPA. All right, we got one more in the queue. As I bring you up, identify yourself for our listeners. All right, you're up.
Hey, Alpha, Scuba Pegs here. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, Happy New Year to all. It's
to
by
all
the way,
who celebrate.
Yeah, some people were asking me, like, what the hell is wrong with Alf? Guys, it's the start of the new league year, so Happy New Year.
Oh, I got what you mean. Hey, look, as far as I'm concerned, Christmas is draft day. So, you know, I caught what you
can
were doing.
Can I make
there.
A confession? Christmas for me is day one of the tampering period. This thing is...
Yeah, that's more fun.
It's become more action-packed. I love the draft, okay? Like, I just love the draft, and I love day two. Day three can get tedious, okay? Because day three, a bunch of guys get taken, and I'm like, you know what? I remember watching this guy. I hated him. I didn't think he was very good, you know? But day two, it's like, oh, I like that guy. Wow, I like that guy. Look who Kansas City got, you know? The Bills got this guy, and I really liked him. You know what I mean? Day three, I'm like, man, that guy sucks.
you like uncovering the gems, Alf. I get it, man. I get it. This offseason has been a little lackluster as compared to other ones, at least this free agency period. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like NBA level, but yeah, like for me, the draft is
well. A year ago on a podcast, I said, "Hey, don't sleep on Miami making a trade for Jalen Ramsey." You know, remember if you remember that, and Simon said, "You're out of your mind." Remember?
I do. I was here's the thing:
if you remember that show, Chris Greer beat me because I said, "Offer a second round pick right now."
Well, that's why he wears the big hat, Alf.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah, I mean, we were all pleasantly surprised by that. I think that that nobody had us getting Jalen Ramsey for a third. I usually try not to get too excited, especially when Simon's telling me to calm down. He's usually the necessary sober friend of the group. But this year's been, it's felt a little slower. But looking at the free agents that we've signed this year, I've noticed that with the exception of Aaron Brewer and Jonnu Smith, if you want to throw him in there too, all our other signings have been on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like, is that coincidence? Like, that's just how free agency has shaken out? Or do you think there's more to that?
I think that they're playing with the draft here, okay? I think they're looking at their draft board and they're like, look, man, are they gonna pay Curtis Samuel $11 million a year with this wide receiver class that's coming up? No, like that's just not smart business, you know. But
yeah, I think I'd rather get Leggett in the second round, like you were saying earlier, or someone like that.
Yeah, but linebacker, man, that's a position that in free agency you're gonna get ready-made guys that are gonna fit a scheme. Jordan Brooks, trust me when I tell you, Jordan Brooks was a conversation done by all. That wasn't like done willy-nilly, like, oh, you know, Jerome Baker's gone, so we need somebody, anybody. Let's see who will take our $9 million a year. No. That's one of those where they identified him early on, and they said, yep, him. You know, he makes a lot of sense.
I guess part of my question is, do you think Anthony Weaver's having a big say in remaking this defense in his own image?
Yes, absolutely. And you could tell by the guys that they're signing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, even this Neville Gallimore one, it's an interesting one because I'm going to dig into the tape tonight because I remember watching him play games and I'm like, that dude's strong, but he looks small, you know? And he's a throwback, you know, zero tech. You know, 6'2", 305. There was a time and a place where nose tackles, that was the size of a nose tackle. And most defensive linemen were 275 pounds. Now it's different. Most defensive linemen now are 300 pounds and zero techs are 345, you know?
I mean, we're definitely getting tougher up the middle, which I like that, especially with the way last year ended. And look, you know, I started watching football when guys like, you know, the Goose were playing. So I like that big boy in the middle, smash ball football. So I'm happy with that. I'm a little more concerned that we're not going to have the pass rushing threat that we had last year, just because our two main guys are, you know, probably going to, at the very least, have a slow start to the year, maybe not even be ready to start the year. But I do like that we are getting tougher up the middle, because that's where we were just absolutely gashed, especially in December of last year.
Absolutely. Completely agree. All right, Scuba, I got to get to all of these questions, man, to fit them all into the show. Thank you. All right, thank you for participating. All right, I'm going to try to get to every single question. There's a ton of them in the chat. We got a pretty big crowd in for the show tonight. That's good to see. All right, first question. Teron Arms says money is still showing $20 million plus. Where is the restructure adjustment? I'm told it's on the way. I was given a number, but I was given a number by, you know, not a normal source of mine, so I won't report it. But I'm told it's substantial, okay, the savings for this season. All right, next question. I believe T is the play with 21 or 55 to groom for TAs. Oh, tackles. Okay, eventual replacement. If the prospect we draft is more suitable on the right side, do you see a world where they ask AJ to kick back over to the left side? Man, you just paid this guy almost $13 million a year, and I understand it's a pretty good deal that you could get out of after 2 years. But, man, I don't want to be moving him back to the left side, you know? You know, unless you get that, you just get that once-in-a-lifetime prospect, that right tackle, and you're just convinced that you got yourself a Pro Bowler. You got the next Lane Johnson? Then, yeah, sure. But I don't prefer it. Like, that's not something I would do. Next question. What would you say is of more importance, an offensive guard or a defensive tackle with the current roster? Who's your favorite offensive guard prospect in the draft? Okay, I'll take it backwards. You know what? I'm going to give you the offensive guard prospect. I love Christian Haynes out of Connecticut. Dude's strong. You know, he's perfect left guard for us. Strong as hell. Great anchor. He'll be Tua's best friend. And I know everybody's like, wait a minute, but you said left guard. Tua's left-handed. Yeah. When you're a shorter quarterback, you don't want people in your face, people. Okay? Especially really, really big people like defensive tackles. So I love Christian Haynes. Grant Barton is an absolute stud also. You can't miss with either one. I would love either one. I'll take either one at 21, and I think Christian Haynes is an absolute reach at 21. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. They take him at 21. A lot of people are going to be screaming, reach, and I'm going to be like, I don't care. I know we got a player there. All right, and the first part of that question was, what would you say is of more importance, an offensive guard or defensive tackle with the current roster? They need another defensive tackle. I think Neville Gallimore is going to help them as a zero. They need a guy who's a little bit more versatile to play alongside Sealer on most downs. Okay, they haven't filled up all those snaps yet. All those snaps that Christian Wilkins vacated, they're missing. They still got to go fill up roughly around 500 snaps. I know somebody just said, Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. Christian played a lot of snaps last year. So, yeah, there's snaps missing in that rotation. They still got work to do. All right, next question. I'm starting to get a warm and tingly feeling about how our defense might be next season. Obviously, we still need a few pieces, but it feels like we are adding a bit of the aggression and the edge we have been missing. How do you assess the defensive acquisitions overall, and do you agree about the combative element? Yeah, I think that I like every single one of the additions so far on the defense. I think it's made it a lot more versatile, maybe even a little deeper. So, yeah, I like what they've done. All right, next question. Hi, Alf. Lots of surprises in free agents so far. I've probably missed a few, but $20 million. It was actually $21 million. For Brandon Jones is high on my list. Good for him, but wow. What tops your list of free agency shockers? That one. That one shocked the hell out of me. I thought we were going to bring him back for $3 million. And he gets more than double that per season? Wow. Good for Brandon Jones. He's a good player. Is he as good to earn a three-year, $21 million contract? Well, the market says he is. In my opinion, I wouldn't pay that. But good for him. Really nice guy. Good player. Would Miami actually sign Michael Thomas? Are Miami gearing up for a big move? Jesus Christ. Michael Thomas, slant boy. You know, I just call him slant boy. So if they sign him tomorrow, I can't talk to him during training camp. But no, man, not interested at all. While getting my daily fix of scouting reports today, I encountered Miami safety James Williams. He's quite a unit. What's your evaluation? And is he someone whom the Dolphins might or should look at if he falls to the fifth round? I will say this. In the fifth round, absolutely. But he won't play safety in the NFL. Too slow. And he's giant. But he'll be a hybrid linebacker type. He reminds me a lot of Isaiah Simmons. Something like that. Like, he's a hybrid player. He's like a third down player. Miami has that guy to play in that role for this season. His name is Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer will be that third safety. James Williams, I think, will transition to... there was a linebacker that got drafted by Cleveland a couple of years back who was kind of a specialist, who was really undersized. I think that's what James Williams will do in the NFL. Can he play? Absolutely. Fifth round, sign me up. Next question. Do you see Miami getting in on trying to sign a DJ Reader or Arik Armstead? Or is this a position that will be taken care of with the draft? I'm leaning draft. I know for a fact, and the NFL Network kind of reported on this too. DJ Reader has not been approached by Miami. He's visiting Detroit next week. Arik Armstead, I have no idea if Miami will go after him, but I will say this about Arik Armstead. He hasn't been the most durable sort the last few years. He wants money. Like I told a previous member, you know, he turned down $17 million. So he's going to want a big chunk of it back, okay? So a guy that turns down $17 million for one season is because he wants probably $25 million for two. So he thinks he still has a longer shelf life in this league. He probably wants somewhere around $12 million a year, and Miami ain't got that. Next question. Hey, Alf, any concerns? We are building a defense for Weaver's system, but he may be gone in a year. For head coaching prospects, I know there has been talk about his name being on the short list of head coaching candidates. Now, here's the thing. Not that I have any information on this, but let's say all goes well. And I was on a Bills podcast today saying that this is the most rosy scenario, okay? Let's say all goes well. Everything comes up roses this year. And Anthony Weaver is headed somewhere else as a head coach at the end of the season because Miami just had a really successful season and the defense was good, right? Maybe the Jets are in for an absolute disaster class, okay? And Robert Saleh gets canned. Hello, defensive coordinator. Here's the good news. The defense that's currently being built is pretty much in the same image as Saleh's current defense. So, that's the good news. The bad news is that, you know, all these things have to fall into place for it to happen. And, you know, of course, the best case scenario is that Anthony Weaver is absolutely great. And he stays here for 10 years and becomes the next great defensive coordinator. But more likely than not, if he has a really good season, he's going to be a head coach. And Miami will get another compensatory pick. Next question, can you give us a quick behind-the-scenes look to where the Dolphins head coach, GM, look at free agents, watch tape, and decide more or less what to offer a player come tampering period? Well, you got the right group of people. Add Brandon Shore and add all the pro personnel guys. Okay? They'll check with also area scouts as well to see what they have working as far as in the draft. So they try to build a board that way. Marvin Allen's probably working with the draft, so I don't think he's involved with this at all. So it's something like that. They work hand in hand. It's not a big group. It's about four people, and then people are consulted as they are needed. So it's not like Anthony Weaver's in the room and saying, I need Neville Gallimore. No, it's more like get Weaver on the phone. Hey, I think we could get Neville Gallimore for this much. What do you think about him? And Anthony Weaver would say, yeah, I saw his tape. He works to play this, this, and this on my defense. Let's go get him. I'm pretty sure that Jordan Brooks was a longer conversation. But, yeah, that's the way it works. It works hand-in-hand with very, very few people. Mike McDaniel is one of them, by the way. When do you expect to see us extend Phillips, Waddle, and Holland? That's coming in the summer. Okay? I know they want to get it done. I keep hearing that Holland is close, but it's not happening. You can see why it would not happen now. You need to have a settled roster before you do it. Okay? You need to have a settled roster, the roster you want to go into the season with. Okay? So somewhere around right before training camp is when you could see something like that happen. Right before training camp. So late July is what I would look at. And I would also pencil in Tua's extension for July as well. Okay? Like I said before, Justin Herbert got extended in July. Joe Burrow got extended in September. The only outlier was Jalen Hurts. He got extended a week before the draft. All right, next question. Have you made up your mind on which players would you take if available at 21 and not trade back? Yeah, I already mentioned that. Troy Fatano is like BPA right now. Have you heard any new info on Connor, his injury, retirement, odds he resigns to play guard? I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he'll play guard. I tend to believe Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick thinks he might even retire. And I think that's why you saw Drew Rosenhaus try to extend his window by saying, you know, we'll wait a little bit. Any free agent wide receiver left that you would have interest? I love Curtis Samuel. I ain't paying him the $11 million a year. I'll wait for the draft for that. What are we looking for in a wide receiver three? Speed, size, strength. You want all the best characteristics, but speed is important in this offense. All right, next question. Wilkins, X, Baker, and AVG were awesome. Any stories you can share as a proper send-off? Wilkins was very standoffish with the media. And I only had one conversation with him, and that was when he was a rookie. So not much on him. X had his favorites in the press corps. You could guess who they are. Jerome Baker was a nice guy, but he spoke to everybody. He spoke in a lot of generalities. The first guy that granted me an exclusive was Andrew Van Ginkel as a rookie. Okay? And I remember that exclusive turned into a duet with me and Travis Wingfield. Okay, so it was us two just talking to AVG, talking ball. And I remember the first question I asked him was, if you could pick where you wanted to play, you know, over the tackle, on the edge, playing traditional end, inside. If you could pick where you wanted to play, where would you play? And he flat out told me, I would rush wide nine the entire game. That's what I feel like I do best, and that's what I would want to do. He was really, really forthcoming. He has a great family, great guy. He made time for me every single time I was at camp. Every single time. If I needed to ask any question, there was never a time he said no. And there has been players that say, no, not now. I'm going in. AVG is absolutely great. I wish him the best. I hope he makes Pro Bowls, and I hope he gets paid again in a couple of years. Any insight on AVG not returning to Miami? I talked about it on the last pod. You know, he shopped an offer, I believe, and then Miami rescinded the offer as he went to Minnesota. Miami was not in any position to you know, go back and forth in a bidding war for their third edge player. Would you be upset with Cooper DeJean at 21? Look, he's a great athlete. He's a good player. Man, I don't see how. Look, there's at least, I could think in my head about seven players that could be there at 21 that I would take over Cooper DeJean, and he's a great player. Eichenberg is going to start, isn't he? As of right now, it looks that way. $4.3 million? That's starter money, man. Next question. I would be ecstatic if Leggett was the pick at 55. I'd dance in the streets naked if Leggett was the pick at 55. Any thoughts on Big K Cornelius John in Michigan, 6'2", 210? Nope. No thoughts as of right now. Late day two, early day three guy, maybe. Early day three, you know what? No. Day two guy. Yeah. Third round. Any thoughts on Ricky Lombardi as an unrestricted free agent? No, I don't got any information on unrestricted free agents as of right now. Okay. I know you like Matt Lee from the U. What's his draft prospects? Day three? Okay. Next question. Fatano. He says, this is the same guy. This is Fincho, a celebrity on OnlyFans. He says, Fatano 21, Haynes at 55. Love it or overkill? Love it. Greatest draft ever. It's essentially Richmond Webb and Keith Sims all over again. It's the repeat of that draft. All right, last question. Any expectations on another safety add? Elliott back. Look, they're working on Deshaun Elliott. Tracy Walker, I think he's on the short list. Okay. I know that Rayshon Jenkins was the guy that they spoke to. They couldn't consummate anything there. And I think there's one more question. What are some of the trades you think Miami would target? I think a big ticket cornerback is a possibility. All right, that's it. There is no more. We do this every single week. We do it on Wednesdays. But until next Wednesday, see you then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.